This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So it is Friday, April 16th, 2021, and I will be right back. Sorry about that. My parents are calling on that phone. They want to go on Skype. Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala hama ba'd. So as I was saying, it is Friday, April 16th, 2021. It is the fourth day of Ramadan. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll go through the fourth juz, take some lessons from it. We received some sad news today, but I think we all have to basically just go down and do what's right and what's needed, inshallah ta'ala. Masajid will be closing, places of worship will be closing and only open to 10 people at a time. Our masjid management will let us know what their decisions, inshallah ta'ala, with regards to when they will actually implement that. Based on the province, our new provincial guidelines stipulate that places of worship must close to a maximum capacity of 10 people starting Monday morning at midnight. So it is what it is. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us. Sad in addition to that is that based on the current guidelines, we won't be having Eid in congregation again this year. So this would be the second year consecutively that we do not have Eid al-Adha prayer in congregation together. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make things easier for us. You know, I remember a good friend of mine mentioned just a few days ago, as this really shows you the condition of the and it really shows how much dua we need to be making, but how many sins and how many mistakes we've been making over the years, and how we have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And so we really, really, truly, every single one of us needs to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking forgiveness, asking Him for His mercy, His rahmah, His afu, His pardoning of our sins, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove this pandemic from upon us. Ameen. People could talk back and forth about why this is happening, where it's coming from, why the numbers are going higher, what could it be from, and so on and so forth. You know, at the end of the day, my brothers and sisters, everything is from the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I give you an example of someone I know who you know, had a very close call with someone who is COVID positive, and he was in touch with someone who ended up testing positive for COVID. And a reminder I shared with him is a reminder I share with all of us, that it is not us who plans that. It's the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None of us is in control of it, especially something that is unseen. And so, my brothers and sisters, remember, you know, we fast for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is not seen as well, right? You don't know. You're looking at me right now. You don't know if I was fasting today or not. And I read this post after Jumu'ah today. SubhanAllah, it was really interesting because I went to my office and I was sitting out one of the prayers. So we do five Jumu'ah prayers, and the third one I was supposed to lead, but you know, Sheikh Riyad said that he would take that one and lead it. So I went to my office and I was going to make a coffee. I was like, I have 30 minutes, let me make myself a coffee. So I went to my office and I was getting ready to make a coffee. And then I thought to myself, I'm fasting. SubhanAllah. And then I finished leading two additional Jummah prayers, concluding the five that we haven't did. I got my phone when I got back to my office and I realized, an imam had posted how he was doing khutbah and he sat down and in the middle of Ramadan, during khutbah, sits down, right, and takes a bottle of water, opens it up, and drinks a bottle of water in front of everyone. SubhanAllah. You can imagine how embarrassed he must have felt. You can imagine how strange it must have been. But remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that water or whatever a person eats while fasting is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that had come to them. He blessed them with it. And they ate it and they realized afterwards they were fasting and they stopped eating anymore, right? They stopped eating further. So, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us through the things we experience in life, at the time we might feel like something is too hard and too difficult and unbearable. But as time goes on, we might realize, alhamdulillah, things were for the better. And I was thinking earlier how many achievements many people have been able to make in the last, year because of the fact that everything is closed and they're not able to go out and socialize. So it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regardless, whatever we are dealt with, whatever we're going through. And, with our borders being closed, for me, it really is a sad feeling, knowing that my parents and my family are all in a different province and I wouldn't be able to go there and see them, especially for Eid. But we have to do what we can in order to get through this and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all good health and strength and the ability to keep pushing through, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to enjoy lots and lots of time with our family once again in the future, doing things that we enjoy doing together, meeting each other, seeing each other. And that seems like something that is unrealistic, but the reality is it's in the hands of Allah. So we leave it with Him and we hope and wish for the best. As we go through the fourth juz, we're going to begin with the very first verse of the fourth juz, which is always a powerful verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in number 92 of Surah Ali Imran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لن تنالوا البر حتى تنفقوا مما تحبون وما تنفقوا من شيء فإن الله به عليم. Whether we consider this the first verse of the fourth juz or the last verse of the previous juz, we'll leave it at that, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verse number 92, Surah Al-Imran, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مَا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never achieve righteousness, right? Righteousness. Until you give or donate some of what you cherish. حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مَا تُحِبُّونَ. Until you give what you cherish. And just give what you cherish, okay? That's important. The things that we like, the things that we enjoy, the things that we love, we should try to give them to others for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that we can achieve or attain righteousness, piety with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We submit and sacrifice, we submit to Allah and sacrifice the things that we love for His sake. And so when we give it away for the sake of Allah, we have basically made a statement that Allah is more important to me than this item, this object. The thing that we love the most, it could be a watch, it could be a phone, it could be your money, it could be anything, right? Your food. The thing that you like and you love and you cherish, you enjoy, when you give it away to someone else, we are making a statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more important to me than these things and these items, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, of course, more important than any of the things that we have, more important than our own selves. And this is where we need to learn the importance of sacrifice. Yeah, Sheikh Mustafa, Allah yubarak fik. It's nice to see you on, but we're using the clear Quran translation as usual. Alhamdulillah, as always. We move on to verse number 96 and 97. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَارَكًا وَهُدًى لِلْعَالَمِينَ فِيهِ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ مَقَامُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إن أول بيت وضع للناس. Surely the first of worship established for humanity is the one at Makkah. Right? إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة. بكة is what مكة used to be called. مكة, right? So it used to be called بكة. إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا. Right? A blessed sanctuary and a guide for all people. Right? مكة is a guide. How is مكة a guide? Well, we used this example a few days ago when we talked about the Quran being a guide, and it shows us the direction to go in our lives. Well, the direction that we go in our prayer is facing the direction of the Qibla. That doesn't mean that the Qibla itself, that direction is, the direction we're always supposed to be going in. No, it's the direction we turn when we face, the direction we face when we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in prayer. Now, it is a guide, of course, for all people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Fihi ayat." In it are ayatun, fihi ayatun bayinatun maqamu Ibrahim. Clear signs and the maqam, the standing place of Ibrahim alayhi salam when he was building the Kaaba. Whoever enters shall be safe. Right? And we know this. Whoever enters the Kaaba will be safe. Pilgrimage to this house is an obligation by Allah upon whoever is able among the people, right, amongst the believers. And whoever disbelieves, then surely Allah is not in need of any affiliations. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of the importance of turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our salah, facing the Qibla. And the Qibla is the place that the Muslims flock to when we're for pilgrimage. It is the place that we feel at ease and at peace. It is a place that we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly, a lot and always. It is a place that we enjoy halal fast food, right? I know it. People go, they go to Mecca and they say, you know, one of the things we're going to do when we get there is we're going to enjoy halal food, right? So we can't deny it. That's you know, we say it lightheartedly, of course. But it is something that Muslims enjoy. When we get there, I remember Sheikh Hussein Yi in Malaysia, he used to tell us, as soon as people are done their Umrah, right, they finish their tawaf and their sa'i and they cut their hair, they go and they visit Kaaba-facing chicken, right? Kaaba-facing chicken, KFC. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made that place a place that Muslims are happy with, even when it comes to food. We have, you know, so many opportunities in life to go and enjoy so many luxuries wherever we are. But in Mecca, we enjoy the fact that we're standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We go there to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while we're there, a lot of the time we forget about our own families. As in, we don't forget them or making dua for them. But we feel as though Allah is truly in charge. Allah is responsible for our family. He's going to take care of our family. He's going to take care of our wealth. He's going to take care of everything. And I say this personally, you don't feel at ease anywhere else you are on the face of this earth other than Mecca, and for some of us, Medina. For me personally, because I lived in Medina for so many years, you know, I feel very comfortable when I'm in Madinatul Munawwara. I feel like I'm able to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there, and it's so peaceful. But no doubt, when we're standing before the Kaaba, when we're standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facing the Kaaba, it's a time where every single thing in our lives is left in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I used this example in my khutbah earlier today. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells people who are looking for Hajj, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. You know, take the provisions that you need. But the best of provisions that you can take is taqwa. And when you look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, you look at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when people would go for Hajj, they would go feeling like they're never going to return. They may fall ill along the way and not even to Mecca. They may get sick during Hajj. They may get sick on the way returning from Hajj and never return back to family. And so the journey is a journey that is really a journey of a lifetime, right? You're going for Hajj and you may never return. Now when we go for Hajj, we go sleeping in private, you know, what do you call that? They call them a loft, right? A private loft or a private, you know, suite on an airline in first class. Of course, we can't afford that, you know, but subhanAllah, it is possible, right? It's a possibility. You go in luxury, you have food served to you along the way. You have air conditioning, you have heating, you have hotels to stay in, you have showers as you go along. You know, you transit in certain countries and you benefit from it. You get there and we stay in nice hotels and we're comfortable and we're safe and we're protected. And, you know, we get air conditioned buses and you have, you know, food that's given to you along the way and Zamzam is given to you in the bus. SubhanAllah, ease and ease and ease given to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah is telling us, right, in it are signs. Who is providing all of that for us? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who is taking care of everything when we are not there? Right, when we leave our homes and our family, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's one of the lessons that I think we should take from, you know, these verses related to Hajj. We move on, inshallah ta'ala. Let's look at verse number 103. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ وَلْتَكُنْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وأولئك هم المفلحون ولا تكونوا كالذين تفرقوا واختلفوا من بعد ما جاءهم البينات وأولئك لهم عذاب مهين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to hold on to the rope of Allah. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا and do not be divided. Right? Hold on to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? First and foremost, the Qur'an, right? Hold on to this Qur'an. Hold on to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember His favors that are upon you, right? Don't be divided. Remember those favors. When you used to be enemies of one another, this is of course referring to two tribes amongst those during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala united the hearts, right? He united hearts. إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. And by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? From His blessings, His grace, you became brothers. Right, as in the tribes became, they were enemies and they became brothers, as in they became so close to each other. وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَى حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا. And you were at the brink of a fiery pit, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved you from it. Right, you were about to fall off into the worst of the worst levels. Right, what is vibrating? Something is shaking here, it's bothering me. I keep hearing in the background. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you know what, you used to be enemies, and Allah brought you with his grace together like you were brothers, and you were about to reach your worst level, as in you were about to fall into this pit of Jahannam. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved you. وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَى حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes revelations clear to you so that you may be rightly guided. Hold on to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, we will have disputes amongst us. We will have arguments. We will go head to head sometimes with certain people. We will, you know, fight for our rights. We will have to be patient. But my brothers and sisters, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. And the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near. He is ready to grant us victory, as in make things easy for us. As Muslims living in the society we're living in, dealing with the hardships, you never know whose heart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will soften. He used a to grant ease to society and the people that they live with. And I say this thinking of our brothers and sisters in France, honestly. When you think of our brothers and sisters in France and the hardships that they're going through and the difficulty, you know, there are so many people, Muslims, who enjoy the fact that no one picks on them for wearing their hijab. No one stops and says anything to them for praying their salah in a park or on the street or anywhere they are. But there are many who are going through hardship and facing that hardship and difficulty when just days or hours or months or weeks ago, they were in those luxuries as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes things away and replenishes those things at later points in time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to brought ease to all of this ummah. Ameen. He says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. Let there be a group from amongst us as believers who call others towards goodness. There should be from amongst us those who convey this message to others, who share the message of Islam, who let people know Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was his way, this was his lifestyle, this is what he did, this is what he called towards, this is the message of God that he received through revelation from the angel. There should be from amongst us people that do this work. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. They call others towards goodness. وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And they encourage others towards good and they forbid others from evil. As in, they encourage not only others but them to do good. And they discourage and stop others from doing what is considered evil, and they themselves will stop doing that within themselves as well. So it's not just Muslims walking around telling people what to do. The Muslim is the one who implements what he or she is supposed to do within their own self before or while also going and teaching others. Right? وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And it is they who will be successful. Who will be successful? The people who call others towards goodness, they encourage good and they discourage evil. It is they who will be successful. And this brings me to our homework. What is our homework from yesterday? Our homework from yesterday was to memorize a verse, a dua of the Quran. Who remembers what it was? Let's see who's able to remind us of what it was. Which verse? Hiya, homework. You were supposed to do your homework. Who did their homework? I'll give you a hint. It starts with Rabbana. Okay, I'm seeing something written down here, but the background is white, so I can't see, so I'll just do this. Okay, ayah number 8 of Surah Al-Imran. Very good, Sister Sana Khan. Okay, ayah number 8 of Surah Al-Imran. So, what is ayah number 8 of Surah Ali Imran? رَبَّنَا
لَتُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ.
Who memorized it? So put a number 1 if you memorized it. In the chat, very quickly, yallah, very quickly, everyone. If you memorized it, put number 1. If you did not, put number 2. Be honest. Allah is your witness. Nothing to be ashamed of. If you didn't memorize it, there's always time to memorize it. So don't feel bad. Don't feel ashamed. I just want to know who did and who did not do it. So if you memorized verse number 8 before I asked you about it just now, then put number 1 there. And if you didn't, then put number 2. Okay? Yallah, bismillah, hurry up. Saima, good. Alhamdulillah. Abdul Tahir. Riaz Murad. Who else? Is that Nida or Rida? Nida. One. Memorize. Good. Sadia Fahim. Alhamdulillah. Tasneem. Alhamdulillah. And some of you did not. That's okay. That's okay. You have to tomorrow to memorize it. You'll do it tonight. You will do it tonight, inshallah ta'ala. Think of this. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that the masajid will be closing, right? We, in Ontario, we won't be able to host more than 10 people in the masjid. So if that's the case, then we should do more to try and get closer to Allah. And we need to say something to protect ourselves and protect our heart from being taken away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's remembrance. So this is the dua that we need. رَبَّنَا لَتُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. Right? So we want to see everyone memorize this verse by tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. Okay? So from tomorrow, everyone will have memorized verse number 8 of Surah Ali Imran. But that's yesterday's homework for today and tomorrow. The homework for today is verse number 104. Verse number 104, Surah Ali Imran. Not to memorize, memorization. You just need to do something. This is what you need to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 104, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. The people who are successful are the ones who call or invite others towards goodness and what? And they encourage good and they discourage evil. I want you and myself, every single one of us, somehow, it could be with your parents, children, with your family that you're living with. I know we're not going out and socializing. It could be something that you see outside. It could be something that you take part in. It could be something that you say online or something that you don't say online. I want you to do al-amru bi wa nahyi 'anil munkar. Okay? I want you to encourage good or discourage evil in a respectful manner. I don't want anyone to go online and to, you know, start to give people, you know, our time. I don't want you to go and say bad things to others, be like, astaghfirullah, fear Allah, do this, do that, and so on. No. What I want you to do is in a respectful manner. If you see something that isn't right, you try to correct it. If you see something that is good that needs to be promoted, you promote it. And I will leave it up to you as to how you do it. Okay? This was actually a lesson for us as students in Medina when we were studying there. I remember, I believe it was in semester number 4 or semester number 5, Mustawa al-Rabi' or Mustawa al-Khamis. In the class that we had titled Hisba, right? Al-Hisba, which is to encourage good or forbid evil, stop evil. We actually had practically stand before our class, you know, every single week and let them know of something that we did throughout the week to encourage someone to do good or discourage someone from doing something that was bad. And we had to do that within the city of Medina al-Munawwara, okay? So we had to basically put our money where our mouth is. Go and do something good. And people say, in Medina, you guys don't do any da'wah. I remember at the time, people used to criticize in Medina. They used to say, oh, you know, and I'll say this very frankly, right? Especially, you know, growing up, we went in jamaat. Okay, we went in Jamaat a lot. Jamaat. That was when we were young. I've gone in Jamaat many, many years, and I don't intend on going at all. But I remember being criticized by a lot of my friends growing up who were part of the Tablighi Jamaat. They used to say, oh, you know, you Medina students, you sit on tables and chairs, right? Your teachers have no beards and they smoke in class. No, they don't. No, they don't. They used to criticize and say something, subhanAllah, that, you know, was really, really bad and disrespectful. The reality is, many of our teachers are from the imma, the imams of Masjid al-Nabawi, and now also Masjid al-Haram. That's one thing. Okay, so what? And they used to say things like, oh, you know, tabligh, we're the ones who give da'wah. We go and we give da'wah. You students in Medina, you don't give da'wah. You don't do anything, right? You just learn knowledge, but there's no practicality in it. You don't do anything. I used to think to subhanAllah, like, if only these people would know what we do. Like, yes, we study knowledge. There has to be that phase of studying knowledge. And there's that phase of tarbiyah and the phase of studying knowledge that then go together. And then when you reach a stage where you're good at conveying the message of knowledge that is true, message of knowledge that is right, message of knowledge that is backed by Quran and Hadith, Sunnah of the Prophet, particularly that which is knowledge, that knowledge which is authentic. That's important for us, my brothers and sisters, to not just go and anyone say anything. Oh, I heard this person and that person, and I said this in my khutbah. I said, Janab Saab, right? You hear something from someone, you go and you say it to someone else. My brothers and sisters, I am not saying this in a disrespectful way towards anyone else. I'm sharing with you what people think and what people say. And what people say to students of knowledge who are studying, who are sacrificing years away from their family, how they make them feel. Like, oh, you guys are useless. No. The student of knowledge knows the difference between the word of someone who is speaking ignorantly and the word of someone who is speaking the truth. And those who are speaking ignorantly, you just let it go. It goes in an ear and out the other. Because you know very well that a lot of it isn't true. And so here, my brothers and sisters, was a class, an entire class within the university, was a class on practically going and doing. This was just one subject, okay? It was one subject where we had to go and give da'wah, teach others, show others that this isn't right according to the sunnah. So then our teacher would make us come for the class and we'd stand there and tell everyone. And our teacher, okay, throughout the week, you know, I saw these young, you know, shabab, these young Muslim brothers driving the car, and you know, they were blasting tunes, and it was like Eminem. And I remember this was something that we actually encountered. It was Eminem. They were blasting Eminem in Medina, right? And so, you know, they stopped on the side of the road. They were getting out of the car. We went to them. We spoke to them. We said, you know, this isn't something that you should do. You know, alhamdulillah, Allah blessed you. You live in Medina, Tamura, your students, you know, here growing up, you're studying in university or whatever. These are not students of Medina University, by the way. They were local, you know, Saudis. And, you know, we had cassettes at the time. So one of my friends, he had a cassette with him in his bag of books, and he took it out and he said, here, take this. It's a lecture of a sheikh. And so he gave it to him. And, you know, those brothers, subhanAllah, we actually became friends with them afterwards. And they completely changed themselves around. So giving da'wah is not just going and knocking on people's doors and saying, come to the masjid, sit over there. And no, giving da'wah is seeing people, talking to them about the life that we live. Like, we live as Muslims, for the most part, outside of the masjid. Islam is not just practiced and preached within the masjid. Islam and ibad is every single moment of our lives. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. There should be from amongst us a group of people who are calling towards goodness. Every single one of us, as students of knowledge who are watching this live stream, we are not wasting our time doing something else. We've decided to tune in, watch. And there's hundreds of you watching right now, right? Hundreds of you watching right now, inshallah ta'ala, have been chosen, right? Or alhamdulillah, I should say, chosen from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be part of this class who will learn this knowledge and take it to others. So now your homework is to do goodness, share it with someone else. Right? You see someone doing something good, share it with someone else. If you see a post or a comment or something that's good, say, alhamdulillah, share it somewhere else. If you see something that isn't good in your life, in your family, correct it. Say something about it. Speak up. And give some advice from, or some evidence from, the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's your homework. And tomorrow, I hope that you, some of you, take initiative to write it down in the comment section yourselves before I even ask about it. So you're going to take initiative to do this homework, and you're going to take initiative to share it tomorrow as well, inshallah ta'ala. And we move on. Verse number 105. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِنْ بَعْدَ جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. And do not be like those who split into sects, into different groups, and differed after clear proofs had come to them. It is they who will suffer a tremendous punishment. My brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ says that the Jewish were divided into many different sects. Was it 70? I have to refresh my now on the hadith. And the Christian were divided 71. And then the Christian were divided into 72 different sects. And this ummah will be divided into 73 sects. He says, كُلُّهُمْ فِي النَّارِ, right? كُلُّهُمْ نَارِ. All of them are in Jahannam. Except one. What is that? Al-Jama'ah. What is Al-Jama'ah? Basically, those who follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam based on the Quran that was revealed to him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we follow the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we do what is within Islam, the teachings of Islam, that is backed by Islamic knowledge that comes from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we are safe and protected from Jahannam. But the moment that we start to do things that are different than that, we have automatically separated ourselves. Those that are following the Quran and the Sunnah are on this path, right? On a path. And those who say, no, we're going to do it differently. Now they've branched off. They've taken an exit off the highway, right? They're going a different way. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this ummah will be divided into 73 different sects. They will be doing different things, and I will not identify. People say, what are these sects? What are these groups? And then students ask as well, are you from this group? Are you from that group? Are you this? Are you that? My answer always, my brothers and sisters, and this should be your answer as well. When people ask you what group you belong to the group of Muslims. We are Muslim. And they say, no, but which group? You say, my brother, my sister. You are dividing this ummah by asking this question. Which group do you belong to? Means you've divided this ummah, this deen. You have created a different sect. And you feel that either that person you're talking to, either yourself or myself, are part of this group. And we've swayed away from the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my brothers and sisters, this is, I'm giving this to you in a very surface level explanation because this is something that's dear to me. I studied in the faculty of Da'wah and Usul al-Din. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, in these verses, is showing us the importance of being united and not being divided. Okay? And I know some of you will say, but you mentioned a group before that you used to be with. Yes, before. And I don't go with those groups anymore. And at the same time, there's khair that you could find in people wherever you look. Our mission as Muslims, Muslims is to invite towards goodness and to discourage evil and what is wrong. And if we find that we ourselves are doing something that is wrong, then we should stop ourselves from doing it as well. Simple. Very simple, very easy. This is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? His deen. As we said yesterday, inna deena indallah al-islam. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-islam. So do not consider yourself part of a sect or a group, and do not ask others which group you are part of, because when you do that, you are basically saying either you or me are from a different group or sect. And we don't need to do that. And when you say, someone might say, oh no, I'm not part of a different group. But what you're doing is you are identifying other groups. You are basically stating the fact that there are other groups and you are considering those groups as such. And basically what's happening here is that we are putting ourselves in a very dangerous position. And we should stay away from that, brothers and sisters. Those who study this deen know what these groups and sects are, right? They have an idea of what is being referred to here. And of course, there are many lists scholars made regarding these groups, regarding these sects. Who are they? Which groups? Who are their leaders? And so on and so forth. But a lot of that is speculation, because those lists are made based on the current times, without consideration the 1400 years that came prior to us and the many years that will come, inshallah ta'ala, ahead of us that we are completely unaware of. So we leave it up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's take a couple more verses, inshallah ta'ala. Let's look at verse number 144 of Surah Ali Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in fact, let's go to verse number 142.
أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمُ الصابرين ولقد كنتم تمنون الموت من قبل أن تلقوه فقد رأيتموه وأنتم تنظرون وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل أفإن مات أو قتلا قلبتم على أعقابكم ومن ينقلب على عقبيه فلن يضر الله شيئا وسيجزي الله الشاكرين.
Verse number 142, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do you think that you will enter paradise without Allah proving which of you truly struggled for his cause and patiently endured? Do you think that entering into Jannah is going to simply be that easy? That we'll say, oh, we're believers, alhamdulillah, and that's it. We're Muslims, so we're going to paradise? The Muslim may still be punished in this life and in the hereafter. And if the Muslim was not one that could be, people will say, oh, where do you get this from? If the Muslim was not one that could be punished, why is it that within Islam we have istighfar? Why is it that within Islam we have tawbah? We repent and we seek forgiveness. Why do you think? Because without it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could still forgive us or punish us, right? And so we seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we don't want to receive a punishment from Allah azza wa jal. Now that doesn't mean that the believer will stay being punished forever. No, the believer will receive the punishment that is due upon them based on how they live their life if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so chooses. And then that believer will, insha'Allah ta'ala, be placed into Jannah as is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? But who is that believer? There are elements of our belief, my brothers and sisters, that we fail to learn. There are elements or aspects of our belief that we fail to learn. We fail to dedicate time towards to learn. And I'm talking about learning about the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't spend enough time understanding who Allah Azza wa Jalla actually is. Who is Allah? Right? When we say La ilaha, oh, there is no other deity worthy of worship. Illallah. Except Allah. There is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that actually mean? There's a negation and an affirmation there. We're negating everything else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that aspect of our belief, my brothers and sisters, I feel personally, I feel that we do not do justice towards it. We are not giving enough time towards learning about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We spend so much time talking about social issues. We spend so much time talking about, oh, my life is like this, and I need a house, and I need a car, and Sheikh, can I get a house? Sheikh, can I buy a car? Can I do this? Can I do that? Yeah, those are aspects of our life that we need to learn, no doubt. But if we knew more about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we see that something doesn't look right Islamically, this takes away the honor of another person. This is not just towards other people. This is taking away from the poor. We naturally would recognize that this can't be the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is asking, do you think that you'll just enter into paradise and you haven't even struggled? You haven't gone through any hardship? There has to be hardship, and there will be hardship in this life. And I know every single one of us experiences hardship. We all have our own story, and we keep that to ourselves. But every single one of us will have something that we'll go through, and we need to push through to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last verse I wanted to take was verse number 144, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Muhammad is no more than a messenger. Now, when we say this, sometimes people take offense to it. They're like, how can you say he's just a messenger? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is no more than a messenger. And other messengers have come before him, right? قَدْ خَلَتْ مِن قَبْلِهِ الرَّسُلِ. Other messengers have come before him, and they've left as well. أَفَإِن مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلَ انقَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. And if he were to die or to be killed, would you regress into disbelief? Would you fall back into disbelief? And that, of course, was a test that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum went through. And no doubt, nowadays when we say, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ, people say, how can you say he's just a messenger? No, we're not saying he's just a messenger and it's something small. No, we know the status and the honor that's given to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we didn't, we wouldn't be here, you know. But Muslims sometimes are a little too emotional. Immediately jump and attack, right? Immediately get on someone's case. We feel like, oh, I need to say so. Calm down. Calm down. We'll get through this together, inshallah, by learning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who do so will not harm Allah whatsoever. Those who leave Islam, they're not harming Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah will reward those who are grateful. Those who remain steadfast upon the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will receive what they are, what they're due. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not harmed at all if people choose not to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll suffice with that for today, inshallah ta'ala. It's just a few minutes before iftar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of your efforts and your fast. And please do remember to make dua during this time. Time of dua being accepted. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith that there are three people. people whose dua is not rejected by Allah. And one of them is the dua of the fasting person at the time of breaking their fast. Right? So now is the time when dua is accepted. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the best of this world and the best of the akhirah. Remove this pandemic. Ameen. جزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم وصلى وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. And please don't forget to do your homework.